Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, hey, like at this point, it's like, oh my gosh, real footage. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's
right.
Like that stupid. You know, you know how the game is, but it was fun and whatever. So.
Yeah, stars.
Right. I look like the John Hamm's NWO version.
Yeah, I better check it out.
I did my hair.
I want to watch it.
Oh, hey, did you guys? I sent you that group text, right, dude? They pulled 20 cc's out of my elbow.
Jesus. So this is what we're doing.
20.
You calling the shots now, A-Rod?
You
want to be number one?
Absolutely not. I told you I work for you on the text. Well, I made it public.
Running the show, huh? We're recording, right? This has all been recording?
Last week, I sent everybody a group text.
Somebody wants to be the big guy, huh? You want the big boy pants, huh?
I always get myself into this issue.
Yeah, it must be just another pretty face thing, huh, pretty boy?
This is why.
You're smiling, wearing a leather jacket, skinny jeans.
But this is why I sent a group text out and said, I'm Kevin Kiley Jr. I work under the boss. Remember that?
Yeah.
I said that. Uh-huh. Okay, I was making sure. Right.
So you guys, your little soiree you were just having right now with the guys, you guys just
I was filling it up for you. I knew you had to get a coffee or whatever you were doing.
No, I was working, son. I was on. I noticed you turned the TV off.
That TV's always on.
You saw me on there and turned it off. He's running late. Go.
I would never do that.
No, look, the sound guy's laughing because he knows you told him.
I pause when I'm at home.
Nice. This is a coup. This is a coup.
I pause and I hit record.
You're going to have to take it from me. Ain't gonna be no knives in the back. You're going to have to look me in the eye.
After what you have done for me, I'd never do that.
Yeah. I'm totally here for the coup.
Yeah. Well, shame on you, EC3. Matter of fact, as soon as I get on my app, I'm canceling. This guy. No, continue. Right. Carry on. So Aaron was telling you about the 20 pounds of crap that was being taken out of his elbow. Please continue, kid. You're the media guy.
I
would just like to say, where the f*** was this when Austin Idol was on? Would have loved.
I was just making my way back into the world, and as you said, I was cowardice. Yeah, I was being cowardice.
You know, you were the horse in the barn. You had been there too long.
That's right. I'd never forget it.
Yeah, we opened the door, and you wouldn't run.
Come on out of the barn, Kylie. Come on. Yeah. Riley.
Yeah. Well, EC3, I apologize, for this, you being caught up in this insurrection, but this is just what I have to deal with. This is every day of my life. Everyone's taking a shot.
I just need to know if we're recording now, right?
We've been recording from jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the wise men, okay? There we go. This whole thing's recorded. I have evidence.
I think, the coup needs to actually, get televised, though. So that's why I sent that text. Like, remember Red Eye? Of course you do. You know, you're Gutfield's number two. You remember Red Eye? Like, Fox Nation needs something like this. Four dudes, some skits, some ha-ha.
Yeah, some sketches.
Deep talks. Yeah.
You like that, A-Rod? Does that work for you?
I'm grateful for everything, to be honest.
Trevor.
You know me.
You're part bloodhound, Trevor. You smell a coup. I think I smell a plot, Trevor.
This is what you get for showing up early to work.
Yeah. Yeah, who does that?
Who does that anymore?
I'm a team player, man. I'm all for everybody.
Okay, we'll be on Team Cyrus right now and tell me you smell there's some stuff going on here. Because Aaron goes with whoever. Aaron just goes with whoever's winning.
We all want to be number one at one point. Yeah.
I don't. A solid number two for me would be okay right now.
Just unbelievable.
Or three.
You know, this is the wrestling business. You know, this is why guys wrestle on one leg.
Right,
you know, because there's an A-Rod waiting in the wings. He's got to send you a get well soon card, but then steal your spot in the main event.
No,
yeah.
I just want to sing and dance.
I dedicate this match to Tyrus.
Yeah.
Enough said.
I want to throw a drop kick, get body slammed.
I feel like Anchorman right now. Seriously, we can start the show now. Like, this is. So, what a week for wrestling, huh?
Looks, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyone see anything? I don't know. I didn't.
Jared showed up.
Yeah, I saw that.
Let me guess. He hit somebody with a guitar. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Does he send Honky Tonk Man $3 every time he hits somebody with a guitar? Like, no. So who was the best with the guitar? It has to be Honky Tonk, right?
Well,
let's have a debate. Jarrett with the guitar, who we've never seen play, or the Honky Tonk Man, and everybody knows Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
First off, Honky Tonk Man seems like a landslide vote. But right. There is part of me, for some reason, 2000 WCW Jeff Jarrett, where the guitar said Slap Nuts on it, and I never knew what that meant.
No one did. We still don't.
Yeah, we don't.
I assume it's provocative.
I thought...
I may have hit Jarrett with a guitar.
I think you have.
Yeah, I think I did.
I'm pretty sure you did, yeah.
I thought he looked good last night, though. I don't know how old he is.
Well, you think everyone looks good.
Well, from where I'm talking.
Yeah.
I
literally could gain 400 pounds.
That's bullshit.
Back in here wearing a medium shirt, and you'd be like, hey, the shirt looks good on you, bro.
That's not true.
Because that's what
I'm not that
that's
positive.
That's what schemers do.
Bullshit.
You schemers. I know a schemer when I see one.
I'm doing a charity event, okay, on December 8th.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's
you've
what
already,
we're doing.
Yeah, and you
that's where
who's
we're,
doing
that's
it with
where
you?
You are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're starting.
Need some alligator arms in those tags, Briz.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're the star. Go.
I heard
go
you
ahead.
Were sent out there to protect me.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, ask EC3 how good I was at that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
See, now I have to become your number two to eventually Brutus you.
Yeah.
He's hiring.
I made it very clear. I said I work under the boss.
Yeah.
In the text, I made it very clear.
I didn't get the text. So I left my phone. Thank you, by the way, Dylan. Thank you. I was doing I was doing world news with Kilmeade and Martha. It was some serious stuff talking about election stuff. You know, I was just knocking it out of the park.
I'll never forget, you are all over the place right now, man. Good for you, dude. Like, it's a turn on Fox out seeing you.
When I realized Tyrus made it, I was, I flip on the TV. It's, you know, the five, but they had like, you know, most of the people were doing something. It was like a weekend thing. And then, you know, you see the assistant to the president of the United States. I forget her name.
Kellyanne Conway.
Yes, of course. Kellyanne Conway is talking about something. And then it just pans over. And next to the assistant, like to the president of the United States of America, is Tyrus. And I'm like, I just huge pop and then subtle nod of this is awesome.
Yeah, she's one of the nicest people in the world. Like, I like that even when she insults you, you feel encouraged by it. Like, she has that soft voice to where she's basically calling you a loser. But, like, it's such a happy response that you're like, wow, she just called me. Like, when I see her destroy other people in debates, like, it's always very, like, wow, it's very soothing. Like, I wish I had the ability to just say something soothing, but still, like, on the car ride home, you realize you just got wrecked on national TV. Yeah. Luckily, I've never been in her crosshairs, but... Yeah, she's one of the nicest people. Always happy to see her.
Could you stooge us off on who's a real jerk?
Who's a real jerk? Who's like
who's
completely...
just like you know, like I mean
and you can't say me because I'm in the group.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like in the grand political scheme that you know you rub.
Oh, like somebody I met who I was like, yeah, I didn't want to meet this dude.
Like you meet.
He was. I already forgot him. That tells you how much he resonated. He was. Well, for one, he had when we shook hands, he had sweaty hands.
Gross.
And he went early with this.
Oh, no.
So he only caught my fingers. So I immediately was like, instant alpha, this guy. Can't shake hands. So I'm like, I'm already off. Like, we're off to a really bad start. Because, you know, wrestlers, we're sensitive to the handshake. And I one thing, and everyone here will attest to it, does anyone here like the I'm a worker handshake?
So that's a good.
No.
No. I'm done with it. I won't do it.
No, I refuse. I absolutely refuse.
Right. It's confusing for sure.
The only people that do it are kind of low-level independent guys or people that think they're long-term veterans, but they never left their town, too.
Yeah.
That's exactly who does that.
Wet paper towel handshake, I would call it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a worker,
dude,
bro.
When I broke in, though, like in 98, I like, here's the thing, and I had to like really, like, to this day, I have to think about it. Like, when you go to shake someone's hand, that's how I was trained to by everybody at Wall Street, right? And like that old school kind of, you know, my first dark match with WWF at the time, like when you shook Gurria's hand, that was the like, oh, okay, you know how to work. You know what I mean? Like it was literally like a secret handshake. That's how it developed. But then as society developed, we realized like, yeah, that is pretty kind of asinine. We're going to go back to shaking hands, but I still have like that in my brain, that instinct to go for the worker handshake.
Wait
a minute. Gurria thought you were like working, but like I would see guys every once in a while shake Harley's hand like that. And the look on his face of disgust and what a this guy was. Like he would look over at me and he'd be like, are you kidding me? And like that was like he was all about you shake a man's hand like a grown ass man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Dusty wasn't about the little gimmick shake.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has to be a, I don't know, is it a like an area thing? Like we go back to what EC3 like said.
I think right, EC3 hit it on the head. I feel like it's real prevalent in parts of Georgia. I think it's big in Georgia. Yeah, like Georgia soft, championship wrestling. Little.
How about when you accidentally and truthfully accidentally do not shake somebody's hand? Right?
I mean, you either do or you don't. Yeah, but I mean, no accident.
But there is, though.
How is
there? You're a new kid in the building. You're walking around. There's 10, 15, 20, 30 of the biggest stars in the world in professional wrestling. All these people that you've looked up to, they're talking over matches. They're going through this. And it's, do I shake their hand or not? Do I interrupt them while they're working?
No, you don't interrupt
to do a handshake.
Okay. Yeah, you don't. I have never been like, hey, I didn't shake my hand.
Right, right.
But then again, I never, I wasn't.
I always was caught in that.
I was more than that.
Right, I was always caught in that space, though, a little bit. Because I was very little introverted, and I didn't know when. And then a couple times I didn't, and I heard about it.
So you, here's the thing.
I feel like that's a situation like some vets use to pick on guys. Because I'm like,
or to get the heat off them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't give a
yeah, my match sucked last night, but this new guy didn't shake hands.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just like a cheap pop to get heat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to get over. Taker's going to love this. Taker's going to love me again.
Right.
He's not. He's really not.
Yeah. I think I've been in that same situation, Kevin.
Right?
You know what I mean?
It's a real situation in wrestling. You know what I mean? Because it happened to me one time. I was somebody told on me for not doing it when I first got
told
picked.
On you.
They did when I
people hated you. Why do people hate you?
I don't
so
know.
Much?
When I first got the probably because I'm talking like I this about told being told on.
I might have told on him,
but I was, and I got there, and I was hypersensitive, and it crushed me. I was like, Jesus, I didn't mean to not change.
His mistake was. Yeah. And this is I don't even want to call it a mistake.
Tall, good looking Jack.
No, I think it was that he came from a football background. Who went to Boston College, strive for excellence, and he assumed when he showed up to WWE that everyone was a professional athlete of the highest level. So he wanted to give all this respect like you would in an NFL locker room or an NBA locker room, and then not realizing that he was in FCW where it was the minor leagues and a lot of those guys would see someone like him come in, automatically be threatened, and will try to do anything to make it look like he doesn't fit in because they are worried about competing with you.
I think, to be fair, though, I don't think, as I've looked back on this, I don't think they were wrong. Because I did, and truth be told, I was hired with little to no experience. And I was watching on TV and I was hired. And I was there, and I was put around guys that had been doing it for a very long time and knew things. And it was, it's a tough psychological place to work through. But I don't think they were wrong. You know what I mean? Looking at who's this kid who's hired and doesn't know, an arm drag and this and that.
I didn't know any of that when I came
you
in.
You didn't? Okay.
I didn't know none of that. The only thing you know what I did know?
Yeah.
You with me, I'm going to with you back. Yeah. I did know that.
Yeah.
You're not initiating me. I'm not holding your bag.
Yeah.
You're not doing none of that. I'm a grown-ass man first.
Yeah.
We'll be back with much more after this.
Now, if I could get real with you for a second. Now, listen, when I turned 40, I started to notice a little decline in my aggressiveness in the gym, and I started to feel the effects of aging and feeling a little inadequate. So Nugenix came along and gave me a free bottle, and I tried it, and I noticed results immediately. I just felt stronger, more confident. You started seeing results back in the gym. You got to try that Nugenix Total T. I swear by it. It is phenomenal. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesnor will help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life. Prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. New energy, muscle, drive, and even more passion. Get your complimentary sample when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus, and that's T-Y-R-U-S. Now get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you lose fat fast and get lean fast. Absolutely free. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Tyrus. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Tyrus.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There's a difference between a guy comes in and you have a reason not to like him. Because we've had plenty of those guys who came in and they had like by tens of themselves and they were the king of their small town somewhere. Those and like they, you can't work with them because they know everything.
Yeah.
And when they make mistakes, they
we
don't own it. That's
room.
Way different than a guy coming in going, hey, I'm excited to be here. Yeah. I don't know much, guys, but I'm excited to learn. Yeah. And I'm really honored to be with you. And then you treat that guy like, no, that's about you. That has nothing to do with the new guy. That is about you and your ability that you don't believe in yourself enough that I want to compete against the best guys.
Right.
If I'm competing against EC3 and Aaron and Trevor and they're beating me, I'll look at me in the mirror. I'm not going to blame them. Like, what do I need to do?
Right.
What am I not doing? So you know what? Maybe I'll stay at practice next 2 hours. Or maybe I'll go to Rob. Like, how do I cut this or work on this footwork or something like that?
Yeah.
Or I'll go watch 19 hours of of wrestling.
Yep.
Because that's me. I'm not going to be like, well, they're picking EC3 because he has perfect abs and his hair can be long or short and still look good. I hate him. No. You know what I'm saying? You know,
I think, too, like from an athletic point, it's ingrained in you that they tell you what to do. You know what I mean? In sports, you have a coach and they tell you what to do. And I thought Dr. Tom was so brilliant in this when he came to me and he goes, Kevin, we really can't tell you how to, or Alex, we really can't tell you how to do this. You know what I mean? You have to come up with your own creative thoughts. You know what I mean? You got to come up with a character. You got to come up with your own creative thoughts. And when he told me that, it kind of turned a light on for me. And I
because
and
you can't
I
play wrestler.
Right. Yeah.
And I struggled that in the beginning because I wanted to do the things of all the guys that I looked up to.
Right.
Like Orndorff and Hercules and Big John Studd and Andre and Bundy. And there were certain things the bigger guys that do. But I could do some of the things that Orndorff could do. And I remember or some of the things, like I like to do the flying lariat like Barry Windham was one of my favorite moves. And I remember Bill saying, listen, stop playing wrestler. Quit doing things that the guys you watched because you need to look and be like, where do I fit in? What is my mode? What do I add to the card?
Right.
Because you doing a bunch of, like, you need to put your stuff together. You know, and Arn was like, we're going to roll around the ring and you're going to get 5 things that you do that nobody else does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to find this. Or as he used to tell me, like, how many shirts did we have to change to figure your shit out? You know?
Right.
And when you stop playing wrestler, it becomes a lot easier. Mr. Wonderful, I think he's probably said it best. You don't know shit until you've had 100 matches in front of people.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know shit. So don't bother. Don't add nothing to it. Mm. Like, until you've been in front of 100 matches in front of a crowd, that's when you can start telling me shit. And for a lot of guys don't want to hear that, you know, but that's honestly what it is. The more you work, the more mistakes you make out there, the more you grow. I mean, because Arn used to say, and I always thought this was great, he doesn't mind if you can make a mistake, you just can't make it twice.
Yeah.
And in wrestling,
you can make
one mistake. You can make 10 mistakes, but they can't be two of the same. Because once you make, that means you don't learn, you haven't figured it out, and you're a hindrance to everybody else. And that's as cold and as straight as a line as it gets. If you make the same mistake continuously, you can't grow, you can't climb the ladder, and you're destined to be an enhancement guy or be out of the business in 2 years. And that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 100%, man. It's funny you bring up Arn's name and making mistakes. And one time, my early with WWE, Arn was big on psychology, fellas, and you guys know the abdominal stretch.
Love it, man. What a hold.
grab it.
Right?
Yep. Clap that belly.
And legitimately, gentlemen, if we have somebody in an abdominal stretch, they're not going to have the strength and the power to hip toss you out of that. If we're working that legitimacy.
Wait, are you sure? But if they shake their hand enough, the crowd gets behind them.
I always thought it was calf to hamstring strength. Because if he didn't hook the leg, if you don't hook your foot behind the calf, you're not going to keep him like that. You got to get the foot behind the calf. Everyone knows that.
Yes, that is true.
Arn was very big on not taking that hip toss. And we're working with Arn before the show, you know, and he told me, he's like, Trevor, if you ever let somebody hip toss you out of this, you're a dumbass.
Well, not to mention your size, too.
Yeah. Right. Well, that night I go to wrestle an individual. I won't name any names. Hurricane. And he put me in, I put him in the abdominal stretch. Which is a great, you guys forgot for the size wise.
It looks good. It's one of the best holds because they see everyone's face. They see the body language. Yep. Like he can sell, he can work it. Yes. You can reach over Cade.
I can grab it.
Yeah, there's a million things.
Yeah,
you
like
can
a
do
rubber band. Well, he's yelling at me. Let me hip toss you. Let me hip toss you. And I've got Arn in my head. Just you're a dumbass if you let somebody. Let me hip. And I know. No, and he's getting madder and madder. Like, guys, we're talking. I'm with the company like 2 months, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I end up throwing him down, just booting him in the face, and going on with the match.
Yeah, and that's a serious political position you're put in right there, right?
Right.
I mean, that is it right there. You know,
either I want Hurricane mad at me, or I want Arn mad at me. I'm going to go ahead and pick
Hurricane.
I'd
go with Hurricane, even though Hurricane is one of the greatest agents out there right now. He really knows his
Did you talk about that after the fact? Like, you get back and he's hot about it?
As I come through the curtain, Lance and I come through the curtain, Hurricane comes through and he starts yelling at me in front of all the boys. Like, where they're all right there by the TV and everything. Who the f*** do you think you are? I've been in this business 15 years. You don't tell me what to do. When I tell you to do something, you fucking do it. And I just started yelling, Arn Anderson told me not to let anybody hip toss me, motherfucker. I'm not letting a do it.
Good for you.
That conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, friends for life.
Bro, he still doesn't like me. Yeah. About that time, Arn come around the corner, you know, and heard what I was yelling. And, you know, God damn Hurricane, that's what told the boy, God, leave him the fuck alone. Or not, you know, and he just proceeded to try to, you know, really make me look bad because I wanted to do what I was
told to do.
Because
here's what happened. You would have took the hip toss and then you would have gotten the back. And when Arn says, why the fuck? And then when you looked at Hurricane, like, you shouldn't have done it.
Right.
That's exactly what would have happened. Right. So you're not going to be able to go to Denny's with Hurricane, but but you are going to get booked next week by Arn. So, you know, you got to, you know,
that's where I gained a lot of respect from
because
Arn.
I used to love the abdominal stretch. And when I was tagging with Tevita, and I believe EC3 ended up with this a couple of times, Norman showed me the way to do it where you have the guy on his knee. So it would be down. Yeah. So I used to do it on the ground like that, you know, and I would hold the guy and it was almost like a finish. You had him locked in and he can't hip toss you out of it, but you're pulling, and then you still do the same cheat thing where you reach back and have Tevita, and that's always how we got caught, as they would see Tevita grab my hand and the ref would kick it and I'd let go because I'm sitting there with a guy with an abdominal stretch in the middle of the ring, and Norman's like, he shouldn't get out. Because I always made sure my foot was behind the calf. Because once it's behind the calf, that's a wrap. Aaron will tell you if you don't get it behind the calf, you can't get him out. And then that will eliminate. That's how you counter the handshaking, EC3. You got to hook the calf. That's the only way.
Yeah.
You know,
man. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's a lost art. You see it now, guys hook it, and it's the same thing. That's why they get hip tossed over. You know, guys are just stronger now than they were, you know, back in the day.
I never see an ab stretch on television. Not that I watch it, but I can't think of the last time I saw it televised.
And there's so many variations of it. There's also one that you can hook it. You can hook it and take a bump with him, and he's locked in. He can't go anywhere.
Dude,
there's so like there's
a sitting one.
Yeah, I used to use the sitting one all the time.
A kneeling one. It's my favorite hole as a heel to use, by far. You know what I mean? It's just it's
and I think
great.
One time we did it to where you couldn't get it, and you were so frustrated because I was too big and you couldn't hook me in there. You went for it, you went for it, and you just couldn't get, and you threw a fit, and we blew a comeback out of it. Like, everything was going his way, and he went to hook an abdominal stretch, and he couldn't get his leg around me, so he threw a tantrum. And then then fed for a big clothesline, and we went home out of it. But, like, you know, like, he was,
that's
hey,
called working, boys.
Hey, I'm going to put you in an abdominal stretch. Yeah. And he was like, that's big son of a, you don't fit. I'm not going to say, you know, because you know what? I was today, I got the Peacock app because of all the wrestling footage is on there. All the WCW, WWE stuff is on there. Old school stuff, WWF stuff.
It's great for young guys to watch.
Well, and us old guys too. So I was in the middle of watching, I was watching Doom against the Steiners today while I was on the bike. And for the tag team championships, and Doom went over. At one point in the match, Steiner had shot Ron Simmons off, and I guess the call was a backdrop. But they had a miscommunication, so Ron went for a shoulder tackle, and he went for a backdrop, so ended up looking like a side hip roll. It didn't look good, right? But he ended up taking the bump, kind of. He went off to the side, not like a full, and the two of them, they're doubling up. And it was to where anyone who was watching would have been, what just happened there, but he clearly hooked his leg and took him over. It wasn't pretty, but it was effective. It stopped him or whatever. They went right back to it. And see the reaction? And they're down. He picked him. Ron picks him up, drives his head to the mat, gets up, and goes, hits the ropes again for him to give the backdrop to do the double down to make the tag. And I'm like, see, even and Ron Simmons is one of the he is one of the most physically gifted, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. I mean, forget the damn part. He was over before damn.
Yeah, and, way over.
Yeah, and, I can remember going through the roof when he won the World Heavyweight Championship.
Slam Vader.
Yeah, Power Slam Vader, and the place went nuts. But even at that moment, you're like, the guy, they're still learning. Like, the Steiners were as hot as fish grease. I mean, they were just on fire. Doom was like the most hated team, and you still had the Road Warriors in there, Midnight Express, and all these guys. These guys get
over
in there.
Over tag teams.
Yeah,
over,
I mean,
guys.
Just over the Freebirds. You know, Rock and Roll Express was still doing their thing.
Can we pause for a minute at that era? How over everybody was.
Everybody was over because everybody knew how to work. But then you see the guys coming up when they're not in the ring with the Midnight Expresses, the Rock and Roll Expresses, the Freebirds, how spots happen and they panic and you see the greenness. And these are guys, they're wrestling for the tag team championship. Now, Doom went on to win the tag team championship that night, but then I was like, I can remember being in that same situation where a mistake was made and your first response is, we got to do it again. And then once you realize, nope, not going to happen.
Yes.
Like, you know what? You hit me in the hip. We took it over. We're both down. Let's make the tag. Or I'll slam you and say, watch the splash and move. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going back.
There's usually a, what the was that?
Yeah. I mean, fighting with Trevor, I don't think we just end up going somewhere else. We just end up in a fight.
Yeah.
You know, and you like, and it much, and the same thing with Aaron and EC3, every time we would get into fights and have matches and stuff, very rarely was anything like significantly called other than like a finish, you know, because it was just like, let's just play, because that's what it is. When you get out there and you compete and you're just enjoying the moment of the battle, it's like everything is simulated. Even when usually it's your friends that hit you the worst, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get tatered by someone you don't know. They're like, oh, you know, but when your boy hits you, like, crack, whoops, that's what you get.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Beer's on me tonight, you know, like, my bad.
A whole lot of laughs.
Yeah, you got 31 more of them, bro. You know, Tavita drop kicked me in the face, and I watched my tooth fly out of NXT, and I just thought, oh, man, he's my boy, you know. But that's just part of it. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The real fact, like, fest, the act of calling it out there, and we have so much fun when we do it. We love to do it. It feels great. It's creating art on the fly. We know where we're going. We actually have fun. When I do things with younger guys, like seminars and tryouts and stuff like that, having them call it out there and telling them, like, what'd you think? How was that? They're like, that was so much fun. I love doing that. Then they go on the show with all the rehearsed, you know, nonsensical bullshit. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just don't understand why people can't go with that intuition and do that.
So that takes a real long time, though. I mean, just speaking from where I started, you got to be a real, real pro to do that.
Or at least know how to read a roadmap. You got to be able to read a roadmap because you got to know where you're going.
Okay.
If you know where you're going, doesn't matter.
I remember when I first got there and they said, one day you'll be able to do that. And I said, there's no way. I said, that's impossible. I said, I need to.
And that's why no one will remember your name.
Exactly. I said, I told Dr. Tom. This is the truth. I told Dr. Tom for my first match. I had my first match. He told me a week in advance. I said, I need to be ready. Please, I can make this amazing. And it was really good. It was against Kazarni. You remember Kazarni?
Oh, yeah. Forget him. Yeah, yes. The clown.
Yeah. So that was my first match. I said, I need a week, Dr. Tom.
Freak.
Yes, please.
And still
that was
is.
First match I had. And when that match was over, he said, that was really, really, really good for your first match. I said, okay, could I have a week for the next one? And he goes, Kevin, Alex, no. What are you talking about? He goes, this is going to get to the point where you just know it. And eventually it did. But that's a real pro, I think, out there when you get to that level.
Yeah.
Just speaking for my.
Because when they, you call, I think the, to go back to East, they're too afraid. And it has a lot to do with getting over.
Yeah.
They don't get what it means to get over.
Yeah.
They think that 6 senton splashes.
Right.
And flying DDTs get them over with the crowd.
Yeah.
For the moment, for that move.
Right.
Because they're wrestling for the holy shit, which is the fans are going to say anytime you kill yourselves, but it makes zero it makes zero sense. And you can't do it every night and walk out of the arena the same. And because fans are, when they're in the mob, what else you got? What else you got?
Yeah.
So then first night, it's off the top rope with a flying DDT to Aaron on the floor through a table. So the next night, hey, what do you guys got? Hey, what if Aaron did it to me off a ladder?
Right.
Okay, great. Then we do it then. So what do we do the next night? Okay, let's stack up 5 tables and Aaron do it. And eventually, one of us is going to miss. And we're going to go flying through a table and tear a labrum and tear all this other shit. And then out for 6 months. But we're over, and then a guy like Moxie comes out and works a hold all night and gets twice the reaction you
right
do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no one end of lesson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. a worker, and this is something that I took a lot of pride with my feud with Aaron, I don't think we had anything more spectacular than a T-bone and a back body drop. I don't think we ever went any further than that. Because the reaction the crowd dictated, we didn't need it because they bought the story. Yeah. They just wanted to see me kick his ass. And we did our best to prolong that. And then when I finally got my hands on him, they didn't care what I did to him as long as I did something to him because the psychology was there. And then we'll come back and they'll be like, how did you get the crowd like that? Tell them a story.
Right.
You know, telling the story.
Well, and a part of it too is these young guys are afraid to go out there and quote unquote, I guess, embarrass themselves a little bit. You know what I mean? The only way you're going to have a great baby face is if you got a great heel. And if you got a great heel, you're going to have a great baby face. Heels nowadays try to be cool.
Well, Stone Cold ruined that for everybody. Like Stone Cold, that's Stone Cold's fault. Thanks, Austin.
But then you flip over to Aaron, and he goes out there, and he's not afraid to throw
my ass.
Yeah, show your ass.
Like that's what it is. Yeah.
And the heat that he's able to generate, young guys nowadays are afraid to put themselves out there to see if that works for them.
Well,
they don't want to embarrass themselves. They don't want
to. They're too cool.
Quote unquote, look bad.
They're playing wrestler.
I think too the heel, right? The heel, and you know, your job is to be hated, you know, embarrassed, hated. You're supposed to go from town to town and literally have everybody that's watching at home and everybody that's in that arena hate you. You know, and that, that takes a special type of human.
But
you know
what I mean? I'm gonna stop you there. But the point of the heel is the heel is the worker.
Right.
And that's what they forget. He leads from underneath.
Right.
It's his job to make the babyface a star. The problem is you have a heel who goes out and he says a bunch of to piss the crowd off. Not hard to do.
Right.
And then that's where the healing stops, because then he has a match that's completely choreographed. He's not underleading anything. Right. Like, Arn Anderson is probably, when I think of a great heel, Ole Anderson, because they worked from underneath. They took an Bobby Eaton. They worked.
Yeah, yes.
You hated them, but they could work, and they could make anybody look like $1 million. Because they knew to work, and whether it was you put a Steamboat in there or a Ricky Morton in there or a Lex Luger or a Sting, it was the same thing. They work so well. Like, Arn is always known for how great he is, but when you look at the mistakes he makes in the ring to get the babyface together, those are the biggest pops in the match.
Right.
Like, they're always – like, he always works – him and Ole always cut off the ring. Always. So every time I made a tag, he was either – the guy punches him, he scissors his legs, he makes the tag, right? There was a spot one time with Sam Houston that I couldn't stop. I kept rewinding it. The two of them were beating him up pretty good. They got cocky and did a real high tag out while they were holding him. Sam rolled out the ring, went around the other side, rolled in and tagged. And Arn and Ole sat there and kicked the ropes and yelled at each other. Because they were so good. Now, how many backdrops were in that? None. And that's the thing that, like – you don't necessarily have to figure it out now, and that's the sad part.
Right.
Because the certain companies just want the with nothing behind it. And then you end up with the guys who can only work for so long, you know, and then it leads to other things because they're too beat up, or, you know, they get a bad attitude because they're grizzled every day, you know, because they don't know how to work. Like, we lose the art of the work, and then you have people like, well, you don't have to work. I'll just do what the agent tells me to do. And it does work. And I get sometimes the camera angles need to be there and all this kind of stuff. But if you look at the guys who are able to maintain longevity and be successful and have the least amount of injuries, it's the guys who know how to work.
But 100%.
But what ends up happening is the guys who know how to work end up getting hurt by a sports entertainer who just knows spots.
Yep.
And that's what drives me absolutely crazy. Like, and I'm not bashing it. It's different. Obviously, I'm from a different era. I like the old stuff. I like to work a story. I like to do that. It's my thing. Does that mean it's going to be what they want to see 5 years from now? No, and chances are 5 years from now, if I'm not sitting at a desk calling a match, I probably won't be out there doing the matches. But when I look at the stuff that works, it doesn't matter. You put Sergeant Slaughter and Iron Sheik in any arena, by the end of that match, they're going to be chanting USA, USA, because it just works.
Yes, and that's what's lost. I mean, I think part of the reason you and I really kind of became friends is when I first got called up on the main roster, like, you were the first person I got into a real program with. And for about, like, I'd say a little over 2.5 months, maybe-ish, but, like, we did the house shows and, like, what we did on TV. And, I mean, it was old-school territory to where, like, you know, we were a very strong mid-card feud.
Yeah, and which you don't have anymore.
Yeah, I mean, but it was kind of cool that we get to go on that ride and get, like, oh, this is what, like, Rude or someone felt like coming up through the ranks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny because you get to a point and then they remind you, you know, oh, you know what, we're going to cut your match from SummerSlam because, you know, in the scheme of things, your feud doesn't matter. But it mattered to us, and it mattered to – because when we look – I SummerSlam sucked. Having our match cut at SummerSlam sucked. It was a punch in the gut because we worked our ass off, and unfortunately that's the nature of the beast. But when I look at our feud, I always just think of Biloxi and Alabama and California and those sold-out house shows that are chanting over a figure four leg – or, I'm sorry, figure five. Aaron does the figure five. And when I look back at that, I'm like, that was the greatest time. Like, that feud was my greatest feud because we had so many house shows. We were just allowed to go out there, and it's always cool when you have an agent like Arn or Mike going, "What do you guys? You know what? Just let me know when it's over.
Yeah.
I'll see you out there." You know, and I started slapping the mat when I would splash Aaron, and I remember Jamie Noble says, "What the f- are you doing out there to make them react like that? What are you doing with the mat? What are you doing? I said, well, I slapped the mat. He's like, keep doing that shit. I never, you know, like, no one else slaps the mat. I'm like, yeah, just, yeah, you know, but it was like, and it was like, but then you're like, Jamie Noble just came and asked me something. And he's a guy who legit knows 5 million moves to everyone else. He's forgotten more than any of us remember. So, you know, and it just, it goes back to, you're not always going to get the nod from the audience of one, but you're, there's also a part of you that's in this business for that crowd reaction. And to be like, sometimes you don't need the nod. Sometimes, you know, you know, like, hey, we did good work here. You know why? Because that crowd is still talking about it, you know, and then some, one day you'll be somewhere and somebody who was 8 years old or came to you will stop you and say, hey, I saw you and Sandow in a match when I was 8 and it was the best, you know, and then you're like, you know what? Suddenly that match being cut in SummerSlam doesn't mean shit anymore. You know, and that's what, you know, and I'm hoping I get to that point with my Manias thing, that to where that doesn't matter anymore. You know, but that's the worker's life, you know, because the sports entertainer is going to win every time. It's just, that's just the way the world is right now. Doesn't mean it can't go back that way, but it's just the way
it is. I definitely think we have our place in the business.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
'Cause I know a lot of people who love pro wrestling and they enjoy WWE, but they enjoy the shit out of what we do because there's a part of them that we still bring back in the NWA, in my opinion, an amount of believability because it is real. Like, we are knocking the piss out of each other at times, whereas your sports entertainer isn't nearly as concerned about
and
that.
And not too many people in the crowd want to roll in an NWA ring.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, we have a bunch of grown ass men and women that if you saw them outside of the spectrum of pro wrestling, you probably wouldn't be rude to them.
Right.
No. Even if you didn't know their pronoun.
Right. Even if you didn't know the pro, but I like that though. Like that, we bring a certain amount of that realism to the business that I think we make other people legitimate. That makes sense.
Yep. And speaking of legitimate, before we go, EC3, we cannot end this show without you plugging the narrative. So where, because people are asking, I'm getting asked all the time, like, how do I get right?
Oh, all right. Here we go. Free the Narrative, our free feature expose into whatever we were doing in wrestling, trying to tell stories, develop characters, have the matches these gentlemen are talking about realistic, shot differently, in your face, action, suspense, drama, character development. They're available on Pro Wrestling TV, so that is prowrestlingtv.live or at ProWTV. Also, you can go to the Control Your Narrative YouTube and find it. Also, you can visit me on Instagram at TheRealEC3 or at Control Your Narrative, or you can go to controlyournarrative.com. You can go to freeec3.com. And for the training, join freeec3.com. There we go. Good plugs.
Wow.
Love it.
Yep. That's it right there.
That's what it is. Well, no one else is actually doing anything positive outside of wrestling besides me. So there's no point to plug anything. Aaron, wait a minute. No, I'm just, sorry, I had to remind A-Rod. Hey, Aaron, tell us about the Netflix show.
It's a great Netflix show. It's actually, it's called I Think You Should Leave.
Oh, and, as do we all.
Fitting.
Yes, but it's, I'm actually, a lot of fun. It was like a comedy one, so I'm happy. Yes, it was very good, very great. Actually, a great experience with everybody.
Congrats, man.
All right. Well, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. This has been the Wiseman A-Rise coup episode.
that's massively unfair. But
life isn't fair, as I texted you earlier today.
That's right. It's not. Sure.
Life's not fair.
Label it that, and we'll just keep it.
Not everybody gets to be a lion. Sometimes you got to be a mouse.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know.
All right.
Be a mouse.
I'm the lion. Okay. Just so you know.
I know, bro. Right. I see you once a week.
Okay,
I know.
All right.
How about it?
All right. Deuces. Enough said.
4Chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.